like to just make a quick reference to a message that Dr. Brown, Mike Brown, gave when he was here about Leah and the syndromes of rejection in her own life, and how it was that when she came to the Lord and prayed to the Lord and sought the Lord, that she had many requests before the Lord, that the Lord answered her cry, and that there's a revelation through each one of the sons that he had, and that each of the names that were given to the sons revealed a process that she was going through in her own life, that God would see. When she had Reuben, she said, God sees. When she had Simeon, the Lord hears my cry. Levi, my husband, will now be my companion, coming into connections that God brings in our life. And when it came to Judah, that's when her life turned around. And blessing and life began to come to her, and her total syndrome began to lift off of her. She said, I will praise the Lord. And when she decided to praise the Lord, that's when things changed around in her life. And following this came Issachar, which is God has given me my hire, prospering and rewarding for her. And Zebulun, my husband, will now dwell with me. God endowed me with a good dowry, and God fulfilled his honor and fullness in her life because of this. And if we would just praise the Lord, our circumstances will change for the better, he said. And I believe that that message was of the Lord, and I'm just going to read a little clip of actual quote that he gave in that service. But I believe that that was a word of the Lord for many of us who were there at that time. And I believe the Lord wants to continue on from there, because he wants to drive home that word in our spirit and the importance of it in our own life. Dr. Brown said, our loving Father is communicating through this story. I see your situation of pain. I see what others haven't seen. I've heard your cry. I'm getting ready to connect you. And if you will just praise me in the midst of your trials, I will reward and honor you. And I end the quote that he gave. And I believe that is a word of the Lord still valid for this day for all of us. And God wants us to come in and practice that word. We're going into some very difficult times in the United States. We're going into times that will really surprise many people and catch a lot of other people off guard. But we need to realize that in the Word, God teaches us that when Israel was about to go into captivity and into Babylon, and merciless people had come in and taken their sons and daughters and drug them off to serve, and many were their eyes were cut out, and others their hands were cut off. It was a gruesome story. But Judah found special favor and special privileges by the Lord. The Lord did not allow the major things that happened to the rest of Israel to take place with Judah, because Judah are the praisers. They are the ones that praise the Lord. They are the ones that uphold the name of the Lord, that elevate the name of the Lord. They were the ones that in battle went forward first. They were the ones that took on the challenge of all the battles in the spirit world. They entered into a world that was beyond our natural world and circumstances. They broke through the lines of the enemy. They went up to tap into heaven and bring down what they needed for that hour. They were the ones that kept the window open between heaven and earth for the presence and the glory of God to visit and be among his people. They were the ones that rang out the certain sound in times of uncertainty. And during times when there was judgment, God gave them preferential treatment. And I believe that for those that will walk in praise, and those that know how to break through the lines of the enemy in praise and use the power that God has given us in praise, will have preferential treatment in times of judgment. And in times of difficulty in the country, they will find a place in God that will keep them encapsulated away from the major distress that the enemy will put upon the earth and upon the church in times to come. And I believe this is very real. It's not just a class. It's not just something we do. It's something that God wants to just let rip out of heaven. It's something that he just wants to drive into our spirit and let us know it's not just a sweet little class. This is the second round. And when God says, verily, verily, when God repeats something, it's because it's important and we need to pay attention. And many of us, God wants to bring us to the place where we practice it. And he wants to bring us to a place where we understand what we're doing. And we can do it knowledgeably. We can do it skillfully. We can do it knowledgeably in the sense that we practice it, not just out of obedience or because we don't know what else to do in our life, but because God, not only because He's commanded it, but because God has given us the challenge in our heart to rise forth in an hour when it is so difficult. And I want to tell you today that even when the staff of bread is broken in Jerusalem, there was a time where even spiritual bread was broken in the time of Israel and in the time of Eli before Samuel ever came in to know the true voice of God. It said that the voice of God was and the words of God were very precious, very scarce, that there was hardly any words given to Israel. God had locked up His lips and He wasn't speaking anymore. When God destroys, when God stops the flow of the rhema words from His lips to a people, it's the beginning of judgment. And God, in the beginning of that judgment, raised up a man who would listen to God and say what God wanted the people to hear and not what is politically correct. And we have to come to a place in our pulpit and churches where we cannot bow to political correctness, but do what God has challenged us to do and enter into the realm where we hear the rhemas of God and bring them down on earth, because they are the only things that are going to change a nation and change a people. And I believe in my heart that the realm of praise, when we truly know and enter into that realm of praise and refuse to bow to the spirit of discouragement, the spirit of infirmity, and the spirit of sickness, and the spirit that would come upon us to bring all types of depression and oppression upon our spirit, and rise and praise till we break through into the realm of the Spirit, we will hear the Word of God. I believe that the Word of God is to be had. I believe the Word of God, the Rhema Word of God, is a true and now word. And I want to tell you today about that word, that there are now words of God, and it would do us good to go through the Scriptures and find where the King of Heaven hid these treasures, because it is our privilege and our honor and our responsibility to uncover them. And God wants us to go into His Word and find those now words. The now words are the ones that work all the time. If you read that word that God gave when He gave a rhema word, it wasn't just for that nation and that people at that particular time, and there are a lot of words that God gives that are for a specific time, a specific area, a specific people. And when He gives them, they come and they are accomplished in their days. And when they're done, they're done. They're fulfilled. No one else is going to come and fulfill the law. Jesus did that. It's done. He said it's finished. And so there is a realm in God where He speaks. And the word is a word for that moment, for specific people, for a specific situation. And you can manhandle it, and you can do political things with it, and you can dig out old things and try to do something with it, and take a sermon that was a now word of God and a live word from God with Spurgeon and try to regurgitate it, and you're going to die together with the person that gave it, because he's dead too. Does that mean we can't take something that's old and something that God doesn't use? No, it doesn't. What it does tell us is that God has now words. God has challenging words. God has real words. God has words that when He speaks and we bring Him into this world, it does and accomplishes what He says. It rips out the heart of the enemy. It takes out their... It challenges them with fear. It floods them with fear. It gets them out of the way, and it brings deliverance to God's people, because it is a word that comes from heaven. It is a now word. It is a challenging word. God hid many words that aren't specific for time and weren't specific for a situation. God puts those words so that in any generation that you should even read that word, it becomes instantly alive the moment you do. If you go through the Scriptures and find every time it says forever, those are words that will never die. Those are words that if you lay hold of them, they're for you right now. If you live another 100 years and read them in 100 years, they're alive the moment you read them. But you can read other words that were specific for their times, and you will die with them. You will die with the words because they're dead. Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, see if in them you can find life. But He said, you won't come to Me that you might have life, because the words that come from life, from God, have life. And they're life words. They're power words. They're words that produce. They're words that come in and accomplish and cannot go back to Him until it's finished the work He sent it to do. And those are words that come from heaven. Those are now words. And the challenge for pastors is to find now words. The challenge for pastors, because it's so easy to rely on just whatever. But the now words that come from God, when we bring them into this world, they can now not leave until they accomplish what God said. Those are the ones that change people's lives. Those are the ones that are spoken into individuals and can't return to God until it does what He said it will do. And I want to tell you today that there are now words of God that He hides in the Scriptures. Anytime you come to words God knew that the work of the enemy would be basically concentrated in condemnation. I don't know of a work the devil likes to harp on more with Christians than condemnation. He just goes at it every day of your life, and you think you've conquered that battle, and you go right back to it. But God put a now word in His scripture. And if you read it 100 years ago, it was alive then. If you read it now, it's alive. If you read it 1,000 years from now, it's alive. There is therefore now. That is a now word of God. That is a moment word of God. God is the I am. He's not the I was. He's not the I'm going to be. He is the I am. Everything we ever need is in Him. The ocean of everything God is lies in the power of that word. And God wants us to tap into the now words of God. And those now words are because the enemy harps so much on condemnation. And God said, anytime he starts in on you, go to my now word, and it's going to work for you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And we are in Christ Jesus. And we don't walk under the power of all His lying wonders. We walk under the power of the living Word of God. He hid another word for faith, because the just must live by faith. We cannot live by our thinking. We cannot live by what other people say and do. We must live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And when the now words come from God, they become faith within us. When God speaks a living word and a live word in you, we're not talking about the word that went dead in the time of Eli. We're talking about the one that came alive during the time of Samuel. The one that went every word he spoke, not one fell to the ground and died. I want to tell you today, there's a realm of the word of God that accomplishes more than all the praying we do on earth. All the things that we do on earth. Release. There has to be a release from the spirit world. But now between the live word and the dead words, we've got a problem. We've got a problem in that the devil loves to harp on the destruction of our faith. And he keeps us constantly focused on the situation and circumstances that we're in, and won't let us out of there. He won't let us break out of it. And God wants us to break out of it. Therefore, he said in Hebrews 11, it so begins, the very chapter of faith begins with a now word. Now faith. Now faith. There is no other faith that works. Now faith works. It's the faith he gives you now. It's not the faith of yesterday. It's not the faith of tomorrow. He's a God of glory. And he's unsearchable in all his ways. But those that know him will trust him. Those that know his name will trust in him. And there's a challenge. There's a challenge for each and every one of us. And that's to bring now words from God. Can we not use things that have been spoken in the past? Yes, because God can take that which is old and make it new again. Can we not take something from Spurgeon? Yes, you can. If God makes it alive to you, drives it into you, made it part of your life, and you're giving it out as life food from heaven, it's going to produce life in people. If we just give them dead stuff, they're going to die together with the stuff. But if we give them life, they're going to live eternally. Jesus said, come to me. Come to me, because the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And there's a life that comes from God. Dead preaching produces dead people. And live words from God produces eternal life in everybody's heart. And as long as we have life within us, we will have eternity. Because eternal life is dwelling in us. And I just want to tell you today, out of my heart and out of my spirit, that we as preachers are not the only ones that have the challenge from God to come up with live food. And I want to tell you, that's difficult. And sometimes live food, there's nothing better in life than something extremely fresh. Let me tell you something just from experience. You can gain weight on smelling the aroma of a fresh bread coming out of an oven. There's nothing more wonderful than when something comes fresh out of the oven. Hallelujah. Now, after your hallelujahs, let me apply this principle. That's what happened to Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When God was going to change the religion of an entire country, he put his bread in the oven. And out of that oven came fresh religion that baptized a country and a new God from one day to another. Because out of that steaming sevenfold heated oven came bread whose aroma, when they came forth, changed the heart of a king and of a nation. Yeah. When God puts us in the oven, and God puts us in the trials, first comes the grinding, then comes the kneading, and then comes the cooking. And when God's cooking you, just know that He doesn't cook you to leave in the oven to turn black and crust over and said He was a was, He was a has been. But God puts you in the oven because He's ready to give live food and fresh food to those that stand before you. And sometimes the deepest trials of your life are the ones that will produce the most life in your preaching and in your spirit. And we as preachers aren't the only ones that God puts in those ovens and in those pressures. If you think there's not pressure to give life words, just wait and stand before a group of people and look at your dead notes and then hear the Spirit begging you to just let Him do His thing. And you've got to stand between the two of them and make a choice. And when you make that choice, you have to let God rip. And the truth of the matter is that we pastors aren't the only ones that are challenged to be in that place. But song leaders and those that lead us into worship, those that belong to Judah, those are the ones that take us forward. They are the ones that break through in the spirit world. So when the pastor stands up, the word has life. And we believe that we can stand alone and it only belongs to preachers and that's all we have. We have lost the whole understanding in the power of praise. We have lost our understanding in the power of God in praise that breaks through the enemy lines, opens up heaven, and opens us up to live rhemas from God that change the world down here. I want to tell you that until we enter the world of the Spirit, the world that's God's, the world that is in Jesus, the world that's in the heart of God, until we tap into the heart of God, we don't have a life word. We don't have a real word. We can have a great sermon, but a life word only comes from Jesus. When He begins to speak it, it speaks life. It speaks faith. You could be preaching on forgiveness, but it's charging your batteries with faith. And when He's through speaking to you, you're ready to run through a troop and leap over a wall, because it doesn't matter what subject He's on. He's the King of life. He's the King of faith. He is the King of glory. And all things become possible because we're in the world of the Spirit. We're not in the world of the flesh. We're not in the world of the natural. And when we go through these circumstances, it's because God's trying to teach us a lesson. He's trying to teach us that the reason He put us in the crucibles is so that we can find the answers of how to bring life to others. And that is to move in the realm of praise. It's easy to sing songs from the 1300s. It's easy to get up and choose songs from the Hillsong group. Honey, that was bread that was baked 5 years ago. Let me smell the aroma. You say, well, it's too big of a challenge. Well, let me tell you a challenge. Just recently, there was somebody that had a neck fusion, had an operation. They messed up in the operation, and the nerves to the arm gave out. And the arm was dead. They couldn't move it anymore. One problem. They were the song leader for their church. They played a guitar. So instead of giving up, moping, and giving over to the land of Moab, he decided to stay in the land of Judah. So he goes to church as awkward and stupid as it looked and helped his elbow up, put it up on the guitar neck, and try to play. His arm would fall down. So the Holy Spirit told him, you know, just put your hand on the top. Play from the top. And then you don't have to play the notes. Just play the chords. Next thing you know, a new song of the Lord was coming through. A vessel had just been out of surgery, couldn't move their arms. Everything was going bad. And in the middle of their dark night, they chose to let live worship flow and let God bring a new song. Bring a new, fresh song to the world and to their church. Thank you, Tom, for that testimony. We don't have excuses. Our responsibility is to bring live food to people. And in praise, we can choose, like so many of us are easy to choose, just go back to an old sermon. But the truth of the matter is, God has a word for now. Give us this day our daily bread. God has a word for every day. And unless we tap into that word, we're eating dead food.
That's why so many of us have physical problems, because in America, our diet is based on dead processed food. Moving right along. God gave us live fruit whose juice goes down and spots your clothes. Fresh, live, from heaven. But to do it, we can't just sing a song, strum a few keys, and die. We have to keep pressing through into the world of the Spirit until every challenging devil is broken and their power is broken over the congregation, and the Spirit of understanding and revelation come upon them, and the glory of God descends upon His people, and God begins to speak to us through song, through glory, through ministry, through worship, and through praise, and through the Word of God. Holy Spirit warns you, we're going to preach today. Listen, before you start criticizing and before you start despising dead food, don't forget God told a great prophet in the Old Testament, Ezekiel, to make 300, to make enough bread for a year and 1 month. And that he would eat on that lying on one side in front of the people as a sign. Let me tell you, honey, bread gets pretty stale. I eat bread that's called Ezekiel bread that has the same formula he bread, but I keep it in the refrigerator and some even in the freezer. I can't imagine in days they didn't have any of that, what that bread must have been like that he was still eating a year later. Yes, there's a place for the logos. Yes, there's a place for study. Yes, there's a place for education. Yes, there is a place that has its place, but it is not my subject today. My subject today is to give you a principle and key you will never forget of how you can get to the place where you get live food. Live food is in Him, and until we get God engaged in our services, we're not going to have anything that lives. We're going to have dead songs, we're going to have dead worship, dead praise, and dead sermons. Does it have a value? Yes. It'll keep you alive a few days until you get a disease or two or five. We need live food. God is waiting. The Word of life is waiting to speak. We need to give Him a whole lot more room, and we need to get out of the way a whole lot more. I'm not telling you what to do, and I'm not getting after anything. And some people think that I'm mad when I preach. I am. But you're protected. You're on my side. I'm for you. I'm getting rid of some things that were here that wouldn't even let us worship a few minutes ago, and I feel like a lot of them have already left. I don't think they like this. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, my spirit can't tolerate all the dead stuff that happens. I want live food. I crave live food. I crave the Lord when He begins to give you downloads in the morning when you first give up. And when you go to bed, He's just downloading on you. And you hear the Word of God that's pouring into your spirit. And you're no longer concerned with turning it into a sermon. You're just living off of it and becoming alive. There's power in praise. Glorious power and praise. Leah's life got turned around when she decided she'd praise. When David was in Adullam's cave and he was at the worst, he'd gone to eat bread at the high priest's house so he could just exist with his men for a little while longer. He went and hid in a cave. His life was being persecuted and sought after like you would a rabbit to shoot off of the prairie. And he didn't know what more to do. And in comes Gad the prophet. One thing David did not want to do is come anywhere near Jerusalem, Judah, or any other place like that, because that was sure death. And Gad comes up to him when he was in hiding with all of his people. And boy, they were a misfit bunch. And he came up to him and said, David, thus saith the Lord, move into the land of praise if you expect to survive this ordeal. And it says that David obeyed the word of the prophet. God says that you will prosper if you do. And he got himself into peril's way. He hid behind a few trees, the few that there were in the area. But he was in Judah. And when David moved to the land, to the place of praise in his life,
it began to turn around, and there they crowned him king shortly afterwards. His life could not turn around while he had his back to his persecutors. But when he turned and faced them and went to the land of praise and decided he would stay in the realm of praise, suddenly the God of glory had amplitude of opportunity to work out everything on his behalf. David, you're running and I can't do anything for you when you're running. David, you're complaining, grumbling, and pouring out your complaint to me. I can't do anything for you. Get out of the dark cave of depression. Walk out into the realm of praise. And when you start praising me, I'll crown you king. When Jacob was in the worst of it and found himself in a tremendous famine that would take the life of him and his family, and he saw the promise of God. The other day we talked about death on the promise. When he saw that the promise that God gave him, that he would become the nation of God, and that kings and everyone else would come out of their loins, came to a sudden end, and it looked like they just had a few weeks left to survive and live and eat what little bit they had left and died. There was nothing growing. Animals were dying. There was no way to sustain themselves. And I believe we're going to come into that yet in our lifetime. God gave Jacob the answer of how to come out of his dilemma of famine, and the end of his life and circumstances were at hand where he could actually visualize the end of God's promise for his life. And God came through to him. He popped an idea in his head. Send Judah up ahead of you. How many of us need directions from God? I want to tell you that when Jacob needed directions to get to Goshen, he began to speak in his spirit to the Lord. And the Lord began to say to him very clearly, you send Judah up ahead of you. And when you send Judah up ahead of you, he'll find the way to Goshen. You see, Goshen was a totally different place than the place of famine. It was a totally different place because that was a place of protection. It was a place of provision. It was a place of light. It was a place of rain and blessing. It was a place of favor. It was a place where it was a blessed land and favored land. It was a place of relationship and fellowship. And you can read that all in your syllabus. When we need direction to a place of prosperity, when we need direction to a place when there's famine and we need food, send Judah ahead because they will break through. They'll find the way. They'll get the directions. They'll get you there. He got Jacob and all his crew there. And it says, and they came into the land of Goshen because he sent Judah up ahead. Judah's warrior. It means warrior. His hand was in the neck of his enemies. He was the one whose praise began to melt down the power of the enemies before them. Over and over and over and over. God wants us to stop making praise a moment in the service and begin to make it a way of life, because it is a way of life. It's a way of life in God. It's a way that has power. It's a way that has dominion. It's a way that has authority. It's a way that has glory. It's a way that melts down the enemy's opposition. It's a way that brings down food from heaven that's alive. It's a way in God. It's a way in God. It's a way in God. Three times over. I want to take you to a little story. I love the book of Ruth. I don't know how many sermons I've gotten out of Ruth, but I don't know either how many keys to making it through life I have found out of the book of Ruth. I've preached a few sermons out of there. I'm going to preach some more out of it today. But this one God gave me this morning. The book of Ruth is more than just about Ruth. It's about some people that lived in the land of plenty. That lived in the place of prosperity. That lived in a glorious place. I want to tell you very clearly today, out of the depth of my heart, when you have somebody married to Elimelech, El, God, Lech, King, Lime, with, God, with the king, and you're married to someone like that, you dress sumptuously. You have a lot of property. You have a lot of wealth. You have a lot of prosperity. You have a lot of things going for you.
You know why they had that? Because they lived in the land of praise. And while they lived in the land of praise, they were located, you wouldn't believe this, right exactly in the place that's called the place of live bread. The house of bread, Bethlehem. That's why they had everything. But then in the land of praise, God allows certain things to happen in our life that we are not expecting. And suddenly comes invalidity. Suddenly comes paralysis. Suddenly comes a person who comes into this world with all the hopes that we do, and he's an invalid, and he comes into this life as Melhon, and when he comes into this world, he realizes he's worthless. And suddenly this queen, who everything was going well for in the land of Judah, decides that when trials and afflictions come, she began to turn inward and wonder, God, what are you doing to me? And then life went on. And now riches weren't as important. Because when you have an invalid for a son, when you have a person that is suddenly changing all the dynamics of your family, things begin to happen. We are made for fair weather. These winter storms aren't too good. But I want to tell you, God is a God of mountains and valleys. He's a God of winter storms and summers. He is our God. And if we stay in the land of Judah, we will find God come through to us. And if we don't, God's going to find a way to bring us back. And listen, everything went well with her until suddenly she thought, well, you know, one down, let's start another one. Let's get... And so they went and had another son. So here Mama had all her expectations. She said, you know what? This is a bum deal for me. We're going to live with it, but let's start over again. And suddenly, expecting from God the greatest blessings in life like most of us do, was highly disappointed when pining away came by. And Killian or Chilean, however you want to pronounce it, came by. That was a heartbreaking disappointment to this woman. She was already on the border. How many of us live on that border? On that edge of, God, if you do one more thing, I'm going to just collapse. This praise is really precious right now, but if one more worse things come to me, I don't know if I'll keep my praise or not. When family members won't even tell you if your mother's dead because they're more concerned with nobody finding out until the statutes of limitations are over for the inheritance. And God has to visit you in a dream to tell you that your mother's dead and have her visit you and make things right that should have been done if you could have been at the dying bed. You got a problem. You got a problem that isn't sweet by and by in church and everything's going well. Hallelujah, brother. Praise the Lord. Really. I want to tell you that there's things that the devil hands out. What if you're 3 months without work and no way of getting money, and suddenly somebody handed you with a $42,000 bill that you had no way of paying, and you had a future that was totally uncertain, and you cry out to God and there seems to be no answer. Try that one out. And God had one more thing. Because he was testing something to see if Naomi would live as the queen God made her in the land of praise, or whether she'd give up the greatest key in life. And it says of them that they chose when the famine came, they chose to leave the land of Judah. And the place where the bread was always abundant. Because they already had a 1, 2, 3 and the third one knocked them out. And they left the land of praise to go to Moab, which was a place where not only were the Moabites, but also a lot of Israelites lived there because they were disgruntled with Israel. They didn't like the way things were going. They did not like what was happening back there. They didn't like the decisions of the kings. They were disgruntled and they were disfavored and they didn't like what was going on. So in just plain contrariness, they left and created a motley group of unconformists, bitter people. And this man whom God had made king, whom God was with as a king,
left the land of praise, and they were wealthy, had all kinds of land. Doesn't it amaze you that the person that went through the same famine that chose to stay there actually was able not only to survive it by staying in the land of praise, but also redeem those who left? And Naomi leaves thinking, God, nothing worse can happen to my life. I'm getting off this train. But the oven got heated up 7 times. We only had 3 down. There's 4 to go. Then suddenly, in the land of those that were bitter, that had given over to just depression, sorrow, God, this is too much. I'm sorry. I'm getting off this train. I don't know why you're treating me this way. I look around and everybody else is still blessed. We're going to go through trials, because God is testing us to see if something that's marvelous and powerful as praise is to break through and bring life back to you, if you're going to let go of it or not. That's why it says contend for the faith of your fathers. Don't let go of your faith. I've had plenty of opportunities and been stupid enough to take a few. But I got it. The whole thing is that if you have a concept that God only does good things for you and the devil does wrong things for you, your vision is too short. You're looking only up to the moon and stars where the devils are. You need to look up higher and see that God's the one ruling in your life and He's the one ruling in your spirit. When it was Job's turn and his turn came up, he didn't bother with the devil. He knew the devil was doing all this. He knew he had to get his favorite. God had a favorite person he dump loaded on when he needed something done. The devil loves to do the dirty work of God. God's got to have somebody to do His work. But Job did not recognize the devil. He didn't say the devil did this. He did not say all this is happening to my life because the devil is bigger than God. No. He said, I refuse to bow to this stupidity. And when his wife tried to challenge him at that moment to just give up and do what Naomi and Elimelech had done and just leave, he said, no, don't be this way. Don't be foolish in your mind. Shall we accept good from the hand of the Lord and not evil? Can we not let God test and try us? Who, regardless of who He uses to do this, when this macabre plans that he had were carried out in his life, he refused to look any other way, and his praise continued in God, and his praise got him through to where God appeared to him personally and began to speak rhema words of life, to where he said, I shut my mouth and have nothing more to say. Because you're the God of the universe and do whatsoever you want. And it was just as easy for God to give him twice more later. And the only way God could do that for Naomi is to bring her back to the place of praise. And while she dwelt in the land of Moab, Elimelech died. The one to provide for her, the one that was there for her, the one that wanted to be there with her. Suddenly her covering was gone. She had no one to look forward to. A disaster happened in the church and the pastor's gone. She said, God, I told you that I was at the end when I left Judah. I quit praising you. Talking with Pastor Chip Hill yesterday, he was saying, you know, it's not only that we feel embarrassed or hypocritical when we praise the Lord because it just doesn't sound right. He says, sometimes it's because we feel we're not worthy. And he says, it doesn't matter whether we feel we're worthy or not. The fact is, He is. He is always worthy, regardless of what's happening to me. Regardless of what He sends down the line to me, He is worthy. And He will always be worthy for praise. And when I praise into that worthiness, things begin to happen in my life that turn my situation around. And listen, there are times of famine. There are times of difficulty. There are times when things go wrong, even when you're in praise, but don't give it up. There are times where you will flop flat on your face when you're leading worship because you tried to reach through to live food and to a live song and to a now song.
song into a moment where God could speak to his people. Because when we break through into the spirit world, God begins to speak. It's the voice of the bridegroom for the bride, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking to the bride with words for the bridegroom. And there's a divine connection of communication that brings life to the people and life from God. And the things that he wants to say to us happen at that moment. But we silence those voices, and sometimes we silence our own as worship leaders. And I've been one for about 50 years. And I want to tell you that I have had challenges over and over and over at that point where do I break through? Is it worth breaking through or not? And I want to tell you that unless you do, unless you stay in praise, unless you stay in the spirit of praise. The other day I went through the Bible looking to see where in the Bible it said spirit of praise, because when the Lord was speaking to me, he said something about the spirit of praise, and I couldn't find it in the Bible. I said, well, Lord, if I can't find it in the Bible, it's not you speaking this. Till the Lord told me that the spirit he was talking about isn't something that flows through the air. It's when we have an attitude. When we get in the spirit of it. That he was talking to me about something that was real in the spirit world, and unless we tap into it, we just touch the ceiling and come back down because it's too hard work. God says, I want you to praise and not just put your guitar down because nothing's happening. But bless God, he didn't shut me up. I stood up here and started praising in tongues. I knew what I was saying. I was getting after those stinking, lousy spirits. They had no business standing before me. Get out of my way. I will praise the Lord. I will have life. I will hear the Spirit of the Lord. You're not going to silence the voice of the Spirit in me. I'm going to hear it clearly, and I'm going to speak to God's people. We need an attitude. An attitude of praise. An attitude in our speaking. An attitude in our preaching. An attitude in our spirit. God, I don't care how much things go wrong in my life, I will praise you. Because you're worthy to be praised, not because of what you're doing. What happens is that most of our praise is based on what God does for us. So when God doesn't do nice things for us, we have no business praising him. And our praise is not on that basis. Our praise is based on his merit, on his glory, on his person, on his nature, on who he is, on what he does, and what he's always done, and the fact that he will never fail you and never leave you, and his work is not done the day something was bad turned down. When something went wrong in our life, that's not the end of life. Let me tell you, God always has a trump card. God holds the answers. Anytime in our churches, all we want is just to put praise in the back corner where it becomes a portion of our service and then we get on to better things. You don't know God. You don't know the principles in God. You don't know that they are the ones that will get rid of all those hindering spirits so that when you preach the word, the people have open and receptive spirits. If not, you got to do the work like I am right now. I'll gladly take on that. One-legged and all, I'll lick him. Is a person angry? Yes, we are. We should have this anger of the Lord. He said, be angry and sin not. Our battle is not with people, it's not with flesh and blood, it's against powers, authorities, things that come in where they have no business coming in. And praise is a tremendous weapon to get them out of the way. And things kept going bad for Naomi. She thought it was bad when she had to put up with an invalid child all her life. Now she didn't have a child anymore. Her security for the future was gone. Sons to a woman represent future security. They were gone. God was beginning to peel away everything in the life of Naomi till she, in verse 13 of the first chapter, says in her own words when she talked to them and said, go back to your mothers, go back to your home. Said, I can't produce more children. If I did, you couldn't wait long enough to marry them. I can't give you a life. I can't do anything for you. Why don't you just go back and forget me? Because I have been dealt with by the Lord. See, she went further than devils. She didn't say the devil's done this to me and I'm waiting for God to redeem it. Her business was with God. She said, from the hand of the Lord I've received these things. I don't know what he's working on, but I'll tell you something. I know in my spirit that I am not going to be free. I am not going to come into my life. I am not going to come back to where I used to be until I go back to the place of praise. And it says of her, that she went back to the place of praise. I want to tell you three things you'll find in verse 6. And I like these, and I'd love to spend a whole message just preaching to you on this. The three things. She heard. Blessed are the feet of those that announce good tidings. She heard. You know, one of the first things God has to do to bring us into the world of the Spirit of God and to bring us into the place of praise and to bring us back into the place of praise is to open our hearing. And God gave us number one with Dr. Mike Brown. He's giving you number two with me. Don't let it go. Let your hearing be opened. Thank God for those that tell other people that there's hope and there's something that they can do about it. Do you know what she heard? She heard that the place that she ran from was better than the place she was in. She heard that it's better to have stayed in praise than to get out of it, and the best thing to do is to go back into it. She heard. And then after she heard, it says she arose. That's another sermon. Rise. Get up off your bed of lethargy. Get up out of your depression. There is hope for you. But until you get back to Judah, you're not going to have it. You're going to die in this land like the rest of them. Get up and leave. Get up out of here and go back where the bread, the life food of God is abundant. Get out of that dead church and go to a living one. Go to somewhere where the voice of God is heard, where praise is alive, where you have live songs, where you have songs that God gives spontaneously at that moment, where you have worship that's real, where you have people weeping at the altar for hours because they're lost in God before you ever get to preach. Hallelujah. Arise! And then it says, she returned. Sometimes the best thing to do when you make a mistake is to go back. The word return is repentance. It's repentance. She repented. She'd moved away from the ways of praise. Praise was great for her when everything was good, when she was prospering, dressed in scarlet, had honor. People would honor her at the gates. They're extremely wealthy. There's something about wealthy people. You just want to be with them, you know. You know so and so. But when all that disappeared and all they were is just a bunch of bitter people, there was someone like Ruth that wanted to go back to her, and that's another message and another story, about three more messages, but I don't want to go there. I have a message for us today, and I'm going to stick with that message. When Naomi returned to the land of praise and decided, in spite of the fact, she said, I'm already bitter, I'm destroyed, I have nothing to offer you. Boy, isn't that an admission for a pastor? I've given over to bitterness. The circumstances are too great in my life. When Naomi returned to the place of praise, what is that place of praise? That place of praise, let me tell you, is not just a little praise where you say, I praise you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Time to sleep now. Really? Do you have any earthly concept how hard it is to keep people singing out there in the congregation and then tap into glory and let God begin to give you a live song and let the bridegroom speak to his church through songs? Just like ministers have to do with messages and bring live food and now words from God. Do you know how hard that is? You don't get to be the grandmother of one of the greatest kings in Israel without ever returning to the place of praise. You don't ever get to the place where you redeem back the land you've lost through the famine by someone who chose to stay in the land of praise. When you have a wife that leaves you, walks out on your life, leaves you abandoned, you go to some park to cry most of your life, and then shortly afterwards, which normally happens to people, they contract some great disease because your defenses are so, and your immunity gets so smashed during those situations. Or you lose your job or the rest, and then you're not feeling good, you go to the doctor and they tell you you have bone cancer.
and you don't have very long to live, and it's irreversible. And you go to that park where you're comfortable, where you've cried so much that it just feels like home. And you begin to weep. And the decision of your lifetime stands before you. Are you going to leave Judah? Or are you going to remain in Judah? There's no understanding for what God's doing to you. But what are you going to do? And that individual chooses there, right on the spot, to say, Lord, I thank you for the time I was married. I thank you for my children. I thank you that you gave me life these 40 some years. I thank you. And the spirit of praise started welling up inside the heart and began to bubble up within until joy came and the spirit of praise came alive. Shortly afterwards, he goes to the doctor, and it didn't matter what kind of scans they did. They could not find bone cancer anymore. Thank you for that testimony. You see, these stories don't just come out of thin air. They're real. You have a choice you have to make. Look, folks, these things are real. They're not just a scheme we preach. This is every day. Tire meets the road. You either live this way or die. Praise is that place that when everything goes contrary and we have no reason to praise and everything we've praised God for is gone, then we enter in to a bulldog's absolutely harsh attitude. You need to get an attitude. I will not leave Judah. There's no bread. There's famine. I'm not leaving here. Unless I go with praise to Goshen, I'm going nowhere. Leah's life changed when she praised the Lord. David's life changed when he moved into praise. Naomi's life was transformed, changed, redeemed, and everything restored. That's different than redemption. And not only that, she was, once again, God built a family around her. And she held in her arms something that was impossible, because God is the God of impossibilities. So much so that they called it Naomi's child. How is it that we don't get the message? Listen, praise isn't just singing a few songs before the service. It's not just Sunday at home before you come to church. It's a crucible in our life where we refuse to die and do. I will arise and I will return to the land of Judah, to the attitude of praise toward God, and thank Him for who He is, whether everything goes dead in my life or not, whether I lose my life, my wife, my family, and everything I have, I will praise Him for who He is, because in His nature, He is a nature trustworthy. And the devil will come and choke our praise out, and you just get an attitude. Go on through and you'll start hearing life words from God, and direction will begin to be given to you to walk out of your situation into the realm of God. So God wants to teach us. And as we begin to sing songs, you get to that place like you do in a message where it seems like there's a stalemate. Who's going to win here? And you continue singing. Say, God, I don't have anything else but a Hillsong song this morning. I don't have anything else but whatever this morning. I don't have anything else but a hymn. It is well with your soul. Go ahead, go with it if that's all you've got. But while you're singing that song, we need to be looking up to heaven and say, God, me and all the rest of us need something more than this. So we need to get up into that realm of the plane of the Holy Spirit and quit playing church. And get into that realm where things begin to work. And teach your people how powerful this is. And if it happened in the life of these people, we're only getting little tiny tidbits out of the lives of different people to show us that it's real and alive today. Several times in my life, God has brought me to this place. Long before I could ever break through in the spirit world for people through praise and worship, I had to do it at home when things seemed to choke it out of your life and you had no reason to. And the mantle of depression was a whole lot heavier than the garment of praise. But God doesn't put new wine on old wineskins. He's not going to clothe you with the mantle of praise over a spirit of heaviness. as long as you have it and want it. We're going to have to take on our patched work of self-pity. Did I say that? Maybe I didn't mean that. And depression, sorrow, and eating all this food we've been used to eating, comfort food that'll kill you, until someday you begin to hear the voice of the Spirit calling to you. When are you going to come back to the place of praise? I've got a mantle for you that's going to change you. I've got a mantle that's going to break this spirit off of you, and it's going to bring you into wholeness. It's going to bring you again. I'll restore whatever I need to restore. I'll redeem you back from that place. Because He's got you and He has a right to you. I'll redeem that right back. If you will just but praise me. Say, God, you know how hard this is. Yes, I do. I do. When I had to say, Father, forgive them, and I was still feeling the pain of their nails, and my back could feel that wood behind me, that beam behind me with all my raw flesh, and I had to say, Father, forgive them, is the hardest thing I ever did. Yes, I know. Yes, I do. Father, forgive them. Doesn't matter what they do, I bless them. Let blessing come down on them. They ask for their blood to come upon them. I know what that really means. I know that you have a right now that they have given you by their own stupid lips to kill the lot of them. But I'm going to ask you to turn that around. Let the blood that was shed that is upon them be upon them and their children forever and forever, and let it be my blood. Boy, that took a man right there. And as he offered himself to God, the glory of God came down and redeemed all of us. Paid the price for us. And Boaz paid the price to redeem the land back that was lost for leaving the place of praise. And God will redeem back that which we've lost and restore back. Because restoration, you know, is not anything you can do. Restoration has to be done for you. Reparation must be done from us in true repentance. Because we need to make things right. Oh, glory. But when we come into that land of praise, we come actively into the land of praise. And God will give you someone to assist you. God will bring back someone through you that you will work through. And that is the Spirit of the Lord that is with you to help you. Once you make the choice and go back, He'll let you jump through all the hoops and all the hurdles. And He'll let you say goodbye to whoever you need to say goodbye. He'll let you leave behind. You know how hard it is for a mother to leave a tomb of her own husband and her own sons and everything she ever had behind to never more return and go back to the place of praise? There is a price to praise. But she returned to the land of praise. And when we come back to that place, and some of us never left, like Boaz, praise the Lord for that. Others of us have left, and God's showing you, return with Naomi, and you will find that I'll turn everything around. But after turning it around, if things start happening in your life, learn the lesson. Don't leave the land of praise. Lift up the Lord, and as you begin to lift Him up, He's going to begin drawing you into the world of the Spirit. And He's going to begin speaking to you life words, now words. They're not just for sermons. They're for your life. Direction is going to be given to you as Judah goes forth before you into Goshen. He is the one that's going to be working these things out in your life. And the glory of the Lord is just going to distill upon you. Praise Him! All the way here, filled with a spirit of praise. Lord, I just thank You for who You are. I thank You for the challenges. I thank You for the difficulties. I thank You for all the things that happen. I don't want to be a fair weather person, a fair weather praiser. I don't just want to sing my songs and have people come up after service tell me how much they enjoyed it. I want to pay the price and break through into that world of the Spirit. I want to be like Brother Tom over there. You don't give up in spite of all the handicaps. You just don't give up. And because you don't give up, and because you stay in the land of praise, suddenly new, fresh, now songs come from heaven upon the people and distill upon them ever so freely. And they're enjoying it and have no idea what kind of price you just paid. Do you know how easy it is to say, God, I got a perfect excuse here. Sorry, I can't do this. Sewed up vertebrae, arms that don't work, uncertain future, out of work for weeks, not months. I will praise the Lord. And brought down heaven upon the people. That's the challenge God wants to leave us. The challenge, don't leave Judah. Stay in Judah. Go for Judah. Hallelujah.